Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Senator John McCain is lying in state at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda, where top elected officials paid their respects earlier today, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I will miss a dear friend whose smile reminded us that service is a privilege, and whose scars reminded us of the great cost that brave souls pay for our freedom. John felt like family, but of course, it is Cindy and Roberta and Joe and Doug, Andy, Sydney, Megan, Jack, Jimmy, and Bridget, who could truly call this man their own.
A funeral in Detroit, Michigan, caps off 4 days of celebrating the life of Aretha Franklin. Musical guests included Faith Hill, Jennifer Hudson, Ariana Grande, and Stevie Wonder. This is USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
We work hard at being healthier. And what we really need is better quality sleep. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides. This is not a bed. It's proven quality sleep. It's the biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing only for a limited time. Find your local Sleep Number store. Go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Late in 2017, President Trump was able to pass a tax cut plan. Now there's been talk of a phase two to a tax cut plan. Maddie Dupler is the president of Forward Strategies and also a senior fellow with the National Taxpayers Union. She talks about how she looks at tax reform.
Listen, I like to think about tax reform phasing in three different ways. The first was that first month of this year when we saw businesses start to offer bonuses and increase compensation because of the tax reform law. Now, that was just a one-time bonus for workers, but obviously it benefited millions of workers in this country. Secondly, there was a change in the withholding table, so people's paychecks started to get bigger. And now, thirdly, we're starting to see some of the economics, some of those fundamentals change in response to changes in the tax law. Making the United States a competitive place to do business again is good for business, but it's even better for workers.
Final look at your numbers on Wall Street this Friday, the day before a holiday weekend. The Dow was down 23 points to close the week at 25,963. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Don't miss Kohl's Labor Day weekend sale. Pick up juniors and young men's graphic tees, 2 for $20. Save on Skechers shoes for the family. Kids start at just $39.99. And Dash Express Kitchen Electrics are only $29.99. Plus, take $10 off when you spend $25 or more. And you'll get Kohl's cash this Labor Day weekend at Kohl's. Select styles. $10 offer valid August 30th through September 3rd with promo code Labor Day. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Recapping one of our top stories of the day, today Senator John McCain is lying in state on Capitol Hill. Vice President Mike Pence remembered McCain.
In every generation, there are those who put country first, who prize service ahead of self, who summon idealism from a cynical age. John McCain was such a man. Today, he lies in the place where he served to the last, the Congress of the United States. Soon, he will go to rest on the grounds where he served first, the United States Naval Academy. The eyes of the American people will be upon him as he goes, and so too will their prayers for him, and especially for his beloved family gathered here today. And we will pray that those who mourn shall be comforted. So we mourn with those who mourn, and we grieve with those who grieve, but we do not grieve like those who have no hope. because John McCain, like millions of Americans, held firm to that hope from an old hymn that became the title of a book he wrote some 20 years ago, Faith of Our Fathers.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, well, we're here with the sports guys, and at least John has come in. But before we do that, let's give you the bad news about the weather for the weekend. And it really, although it's changed a little bit from an hour ago, it now said that there's only 70% chance of showers. Well, we all know if we've been in this area that, in fact, it has been raining, and it's been, more than showers in some areas tonight. Again, showers likely, mainly before 7 p.m. Then it's going to be cloudy, then there will be isolated showers tonight. Saturday, actually, still looks like the better day because there's a slight chance of showers, about a 20% chance in this area, a high of about 80 degrees, and mostly cloudy with a high, as I said, near 80 degrees. So by Sunday, according to the prediction now. Again, they said a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9 a.m. So basically, looks like Sunday's going to be worse than Saturday. Mostly cloudy, high near 83 degrees, but there's about a 40% chance of precipitation. Again, do you take the risk and be outside? But there is a possibility of thunderstorms, and so that's always the concern. By Labor Day, again, chance of showers between 9 and 3. Then again, a chance of continued showers and thunderstorms. So again, maybe partly sunny, high near 88. That's Monday. I'm not so concerned about the night. How about Tuesday? Well, again, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m. So apparently if you can get out there and do something earlier in the morning, it's going to be mostly sunny, high about 90 degrees. And Wednesday, again, chance of showers and thunderstorms, high of about 89 degrees. So, this is going to be one of those weeks where a lot of possibility of rain. So what's happening in sports? I actually have a couple things in sports that I found was very interesting that relates to Senator McCain.
Well, go right ahead, Pat. Okay. John McCain was somebody everybody admired and respected. John McCain, as you know, was a guy who certainly understood what suffering was like. He was a POW for 5 years after his plane was shot down over North Vietnam. Additionally, John McCain was at one point married to a woman who had some serious health problems and went through a lot of changes. So McCain has had had the normal problems that some of us have, plus being a prisoner of war for 5 years, and I have to say he was a truly honorable man. He was, you know, unfortunately in his Senate career, he did get mixed up with a guy by the name of Charles Keating, who went to jail during the savings and loan crisis, and Keating was actually one of his contributors. The difficulty that, but you know, McCain was a guy who always persevered and overcame, and I think it was part of that Annapolis focus that a lot of people had of his generation. Certainly somebody I have worlds of respect for.
Well, let me tell you what I wanted to say with respect to his contact with sports. One of the men who eulogized him at his funeral in Phoenix yesterday was Larry Fitzgerald. So you tell me, have you ever heard of the name Larry Fitzgerald?
I can't say that I have.
Oh, come on.
I must be
Arizona,
dropped.
Arizona Cardinals?
Well, I only pay attention to the Cardinals when they're getting beat by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. Well, Larry Fitzgerald is a, I think, I know he did. He grew up in Minnesota, not a lot in common with John McCain. John McCain became friends with so many people, including one of his friends was Larry Fitzgerald, and Larry gave a eulogy at John McCain's funeral. But one of the things that I remember about Arizona, I'll never forget that Dave and I went to a playoff game between the Cardinals and the Packers. Of course, the Packers, huge score, Packers lost, and that's another story. But one of the things that happened is we were staying, I don't remember, but we were staying some miles away from the stadium. And so, of course, we did what we usually would do. We wanted to get to the stadium by on time. At the time, we had a rental car. So we started off for the stadium, and we kept thinking that we must be going the wrong way because there was just no traffic. And, you know, there was this unbelievable highway that, you know, we got to the stadium probably an hour and a half earlier. I mean, we really just kind of right in. Then we got down near the stadium. You were easy to get into the parking, et cetera, et cetera. Well, after we spent more time in Arizona, we realized that both Senator Goldwater and, of course, Senator McCain managed to get some of the best funding for their roads in Arizona. So they were very powerful. Now, granted, the roads in Arizona don't take the beating that the roads in Minnesota and Wisconsin take during the winter. But it was still one of the first times that we were just so surprised at, you know, all of the federal funding that obviously went to Arizona. And at another time out there, you know, there seemed to be highways going to nowhere. I mean, they just, you know, we look at what happens here as soon as the road is completed. I'll never forget what happened with that extension of Route 24 where you went to Morristown to Newark. I mean, within a week, it was back-to-back traffic. But anyway, it was interesting to hear Larry Fitzgerald as one of the people who eulogized McCain, who obviously had a wicked sense of humor and was interesting to me to, you know, watch. I ended up spending a lot more time watching television. But he would, you know, let the Cardinals know when he was not happy with their play. So I don't know if, I guess probably most senators have to at least say that they're football fans. But, of course, our dear governor, if you'll recall, there were times where he was down in Jerry Jones' box rooting for the Dallas Cowboys, which did not go over well at all.
Well, remember, he's our ex-governor.
Oh, well, did I?
You said our dear governor.
Well, our dear former governor, I should say.
You should say former governor.
Mr. Christie.
We all know what you mean.
Yeah, we certainly did. And, of course, believe me, he also appeared at a Cowboy-Packer game at Lambeau, And apparently the media was instructed that under no circumstances were they to pan Jerry Jones' box and get a picture of Governor Christie. So you would think that a governor of New Jersey would at least be a supporter of either the Giants or the Jets, even though they're called the New York Giants and the New York Jets. All of us in New Jersey know that they actually play in a stadium in New Jersey.
Well, that's certainly interesting, that, Pat. And, you know, the John McCain was truly an American patriot, truly somebody who can be held up as a role model because of all the things he overcame plus all the things he stood for. I had the pleasure of meeting somebody who served under him when he was running the Naval Air Station at Pensacola, where he was the commander. And this guy was a, basically he was a flight mechanic. He had worked, he had been in the Navy for a while. They had trained him to take care of aircraft. And he said McCain was everywhere at 5:30 in the morning. You never knew where McCain was going to show up. He was a real hands-on, pay attention. And amazingly, here's a guy who was just below the rank of Rear Admiral. I don't know what that is in the Navy, but he's running this base where there must be 8 or 10,000 people.
Well, didn't he retire as a captain?
Maybe he did. I just don't know. But he was in charge of this base and for a while. And he knew, and my friend was impressed that he knew his name.
Well, one of the things that anybody who traveled with him, I mean, we all know how supportive of the military he was, but apparently anyone who traveled with him said that he was always so kind to the enlisted personnel and always made sure to interact with the enlisted personnel. So there'll be many stories, and one of the things that I think, this is a sports program, but of course it's also nice to see and nice to hear that someone who was so busy with everything he had to do was also a football fan. So guess what? There can be, you know, sometimes we're told if we're football fans, we must not be very smart. We must be, you know, good old boys or girls. And so it's always nice to see someone like, when you hear someone like John McCain was such a diehard football fan.
Well, and speaking of football, if you have nothing to do during the rain tomorrow and it's lunchtime, you can turn on your TV and watch Temple Villanova at 1 o'clock. Last year, Temple won 16-13 on a 49-yard field goal with a minute left, which earned Temple coach Jeff Collins his first win. Villanova had a tough year last year, going 5-6, and the Owls were coming off of a loss last year at Notre Dame. They had lost 49-16. I always thought that was a mismatch when Temple should be playing a school like Notre Dame, but I don't make the schedule. Remember, the Villanova Wildcats at 5-6 last year because they had a lot of injuries are now ranked number 19 in two football championship series polls, Pat.
Really?
Yeah. In last year's game, Villanova was trailing Temple 13-3 late in the third quarter before finally tying the score on a field goal with 13 minutes and 29 seconds left. And it was a faster game against Temple, and it seemed like it took a while for Villanova to catch up with them, according to Villanova's coach, Mark Ferranti. But the Owls came off a 7-6 season where they won four of their final five games, including a 28-3 win over Florida International. Now, that took place in probably the strangest name I've ever seen for a bowl game. The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl Game. Now, I haven't the slightest idea what a Bad Boy Mower Gasparilla is. It sounds like something that, you might not want to see on a menu or catch from something else or someone else. The Owls, however, have a pretty deep roster this year. Last year, the Owls were able to keep Villanova from throwing the ball a lot. They were pressuring him, pressuring the Villanova quarterback, who Zach Bednarczyk, who is returning. He's a senior this year. But Temple's a fast, physical team and seems to have a lot more depth than Villanova, so this should be a very interesting football game. The college season starts, and then I think a week later, on the 6th, we have Eagles-Falcons,
yep,
don't we?
6th and 7th, the first games, and of course, the Packers, that was really a sloppy game in Oakland for that 13-6 loss. Now, they, you know, I think that the reserve units on offense enjoyed really a fair amount of production, if not a lot of production, for through their first two preseason games. But, boy, on Friday night, it was a slew of penalties and sacks and, you know, long night for the Packers. And, as I said, it was a 13-6 preseason decision to the Raiders, and I did get to at least see Jordy Nelson on the sidelines for the Raiders. You know, pierces my heart because I'm still really more than somewhat angry that they did not give him a decent contract. In other words, I think Jordy wanted to end up his playing years at Green Bay, and they basically, you know, rubbed his nose in it. And so he went out and got, what, a $13 or $15 million contract from the Raiders. But guess who got a rich new four-year extension from the Packers?
I'm guessing it's Aaron Rodgers, Pat.
I guess so. He is now under contract until age 40, a four-year extension that will make him the highest-paid player in NFL history. And not only will then keep him under contract until he is 40, apparently the NFL Network was able to break the story on the contract agreement, reported Wednesday that the deal was worth a yearly average of $33.5 million in new money plus incentives. So the Packers officially announced the signing on Wednesday. And frankly, I mean, I think I don't know of anybody who doesn't want Rodgers to continue, but, you know, maybe they could have put a little bit of that money and kept Jordy, because if he doesn't, meaning if Rodgers doesn't have some good receivers, you know, he can't play the game alone. He's tried to, but we know that it doesn't work. So apparently, as I said, they agreed to that four-year extension worth $134 million with a maximum potential of $180 million. I have no idea what that will do to their cap, because it includes $103 million guaranteed and $67 million before the end of the calendar year. So I have no clue how they're going to make any decent or keep a lot of the other decent players. Apparently, they're shopping Randall Cobb. We know that they got rid of Jordy Nelson. Mm-hmm. And, of course, what Rodgers had 2 years left on the five-year $110 million extension that he signed in April of 2013. So, you know, he'll actually be 40 years old. And, you know, he's indicated he'd like to play until he's 40, but, you know, they're going to have to dig into their reserve fund to deliver that signing bonus and other guaranteed money included in this deal.
Well,
so,
you know, Pat, I think the Packers made a smart move locking him up for the rest of his career, because
yeah,
he really
so
is
too.
The heart and soul of that
but
franchise
did they
right
really,
now.
But did they really need to pay him that much to lock him up?
Well, the question is going to be, who can they now afford to put around them so that he can work his magic?
Yeah. And you know, and he had two more years. Did the Packers get a better deal because they did it 2 years before they had to?
You know, sometimes you do what you got to do before you have to do it, and it always pays off. The sooner you get a guy like Aaron Rodgers under contract, the better off you're going to be. I mean, look at the problem that other teams are having, keeping maybe not franchise-designated players, but certainly very good ones. So what do you think about the Packers' chances this year? What do you have a prediction for?
Well, I can't.
What do you think their record's going to be?
You know, at this point, I need to see them play their first game before. You can't, you know, they really didn't have their offense, their offense of unit. You know, Rodgers didn't play. They just really, you can't tell exactly anything. I don't think you can tell anything with respect to that Oakland game. But I don't
think preseason games are meaningful to anybody unless they're fighting for a job or fighting to keep a job, to be honest.
Yeah, but they also had a lot of penalties and, you know, it just missed opportunities. But getting back to the Packers this last year.
And we have an unexplained John Manfreda sighting. John Manfreda back from beautiful, exciting Las Vegas is here to tell us about his New York Giants. So, John, how do you think the Giants are going to do this year?
Good afternoon, Pat and Bill. And, yes, I am fresh off of a return from Vegas. And apropos of that, I have the odds from Las Vegas.
Well, before you get into that, let's see. What's the Giants' record going to be? Eli Manning finally has a healthy bunch of guys around him.
Well, before I get to that, Bill,
Are you three on the mic? I just want to be sure.
Yeah, you're on.
I wanted to be sure we could hear you, of course.
Perish the thought if I wouldn't be heard. Bill, here are two betting slips for you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad this is legal now in New Jersey.
It's absolutely legal, for sure. And what was the question? How many games do you think do I think the Giants are going to win? Believe it or not, I heard the over-under is like 7.5 games. So as many people are betting they'll win 7 games as they will win 8 games. I think they will win 10 games myself. I think that once that offense gets clicking, it'll make up for some deficiencies on the defense.
Well, you know, it's interesting because they finally have Odell Beckham under contract. He's showing a much better attitude. They've got an exciting running back in Saquon Barkley. The real question for me is going to be the Giant O-line and how it's
right. It's still
up.
A bit of a question. I mean, they've certainly been upgraded in 3 places, but until they do it, they haven't done it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I can tell you that some people are just giving the Rodney Dangerfields of football, the Philadelphia Eagles, no respect at all. A lot of people are saying they're going to lose this weekend, opening weekend to Atlanta, because it's just tough to repeat a Super Bowl year when they had a magic year and caught lightning in the bottle. Remember, the first couple of weeks, we might not see Carson Wentz because he's still rehabbing, and they may not want to put him out there until he's well more than 100%.
I think if you're the Eagles, you'll be very happy to even be 3-3 after 6 games with Wentz coming back. I mean, certainly 4-2 would be better, but even if you're 3-3, I think the team is quality enough that they could still come back and win 11 games, because I think 11 games is going to win the NFC East.
I think so, too. I mean, I'm hoping the Eagles can make it to a 10-4 season, but that's kind of tough. Remember, they're starting against Atlanta without Tim Jernigan, Alshon Jeffrey, and most importantly, linebacker Nigel Bradham, who will be
They're banged up a little bit, coming off the rubber chicken circuit Super Bowl year, it's tough to get out of the starting block and without your number one quarterback. It won't shock me again if they're a 500 team for the first month. But if the Eagles are 2-2, I don't know about 3-3, but certainly 2-2, there's plenty of time to recover from that. Now, if they get off to a 1-5 start, in the NFC East, that might be a problem.
Oh, I think that would be a big problem.
That'd be a big problem. Yeah.
Uphill battle. But you know, I think that the other issue, Bill, is if Foles, who is not 100%, is not effective in the early going until Wentz can take over.
Well, that may very well be. Meanwhile, we have the team that always puts the fun in dysfunctional, the New York Jets. Nobody knows what we're going
to
get.
Well, the Jets opened at 100-1 odds to win the Super Bowl, and they've actually been upgraded to 75-1. And a lot of people were, taking some of that action. Only the Arizona Cardinals and the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Cincinnati Bengals are lower, and the Bills are lower than that. Really, I'm not sure what's going on with some of those teams. There are a lot of teams that are between 20-1 and 40-1 to win, but the Eagles are 10-1 to win, which is pretty good.
Those are very respectable odds.
Respectable odds. The Patriots are 15-2, which is 7.5-1. The Raiders are 20-1 to win. I just came back from Vegas, where it's now considered Raider country there, because they're getting ready. Pittsburgh is 11-1, and the Vikings are a shocking 11-1. Now that I think about it, I probably should have put some. The real problem for the Vikings is they're in the NFC.
Now, is this to win the Super Bowl or just to get into the Super Bowl?
To win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Conference is a different story.
How about
story.
My Packers?
The Packers are 10-1 to, same as the Eagles, to win the Super Bowl. In the NFC, the Packers are 5-1 to win the NFC. The Eagles are 5-1, and the Rams are 5-1. Saints are 10-1. Giants Saints are 7-1, and the Giants 10-1. So you got four or five teams between 5 and 10-1 to win the conference. Whereas in the AFC, you've got New England at 11-4, because they have an easy road to the championship game. They play in the East. Pittsburgh's 4-1. The Chiefs are 11-1, and the Chargers are a surprising 7-1.
That's very surprising to me, because I don't think much of San Diego's.
Well,
team.
What it is, Bill. They're quiet LA, out right? there. That they've been accumulating some talent the last couple of years, and they thinking this may be their year. But the problem is they play in the AFC West, and the Chiefs always win 10, 11 games. Hard to win the division right. there. You got Denver. You got Oakland. Very tough to win on the road. The AFC West is almost as, to me, the way I rank the divisions, kind of an interesting endeavor, and it is subjective, but I mean, I think the NFC East is the most difficult division, followed by the AFC West and the NFC Central. Those
you
would
don't
be
think
my
the North?
Three.
NFC North?
I mean the NFC North. I'm sorry. The North with the Packers and the Vikings.
So, wait,
Bears
you think
and Lions.
The East is tougher than the North?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got three. The Cowboys, well, Giants, and Eagles, I think, match up extremely well.
Well, let me throw the.
I'm talking top to bottom, Pat.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the Packers are the favorite to win the NFC, okay, and followed closely by the Vikings. But, you know, in the NFC, I mean, Washington's down and they don't have a quarterback now. But legitimately, the Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles are pretty even or close to even standing. And, you know, those three teams with those two teams. I'm saying top to bottom, if you ranked them, I think it's pretty equivalent.
Well, let's throw some jokers into the pack and see what we can come up with. You know, the Raiders are going to be moving to Vegas probably in 2020, and they still can't seem to be able to sign Khalil Mack, who is clearly the best pass rusher in the NFL, in my opinion. And the Jets are sorely in need of a pass rusher. They haven't had a great pass rush since the Mark Gastineau, Joe Klecko days, in my humble opinion. So supposing we do a little magic and the Jets give up the two first-round draft choices that they presently hold, one from a Teddy Bridgewater trade to the New Orleans Saints.
I think that
would
be a first. They got a third for Bridgewater.
Did they get a third? Excuse me. So let's say that they trade a couple first-round draft choices to Oakland. Oakland, not a great team this year. Probably is not going to sign this guy. John Gruden is probably enough of a wild card kind of guy, a maverick kind of guy, that he's going to say, okay, let's move on from Khalil Mack. Let's stock the team for 2 years from now when we're going to be in Vegas and have some exciting draft choices that we can pick very high up and let him go. So supposing Khalil Mack ends up filling the big hole the New York Jets have. Now, we know the Jets play the Patriots twice, and then they've got two other teams that are probably on a par with them, like the Bills and the Dolphins. Not strong teams, not weak teams, but the Jets have suddenly
I think the Jets are much better than the Dolphins and Bills.
I think the Jets have a real find in Sam Darnold. Certainly we're going to find out next week. And we still have Josh McCown, who is certainly the grand old man of quarterbacking and a great mentor for this nice young man with a great arm. So supposing the Jets make that deal and take Khalil Mack and pay him the boatload of money that he wants, well, we will call that a moonshot amount of money, because it's a ton of money. He wants to be the highest paid defensive player ever.
Okay, let's assume they do, then what? What's your question?
Okay, so here's a question. How good does that make the New York Jets?
Not good enough.
Why?
Because I think they're 2 years away. I think they've got a decent running game. The offensive line is woefully deficient. It's worse than the Giants. It's in the lower half of the league. You have a rookie quarterback. You have a nice, otherwise nice. The back seven on defense is pretty good.
But remember,
but you got some big holes, namely offensive line and quarterback. I think of, and who are your receivers on the Jets now? I think offensively the Jets will be challenged to get to 15, 20 points a week. I really do. I think they're going to really struggle this year on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
think
one
struggle.
Person can. Make that big a difference, unless it's a, you know, super quarterback and you had a lot of good receivers on the team waiting for that super quarterback.
And I don't think the Jets would make that deal because, again, they need to stock players around Darnold. They can't afford to give up high draft picks for even a great pass rusher. You know, what do you do if you pull off a trade like that and the guy gets injured?
Well, remember, and that's right, but he was the Defensive Player of the Year in 2016, and now that he's a holdout, his contract is up, he wasn't signed, he is basically sitting it out, hoping for the best. Now, his value is going to go down after the first game of the season, and it's going to go down again even more
Why
the
do
second
you say
game
that?
Of the season.
Why do you say that?
Because teams will realize that they don't need him to win. Some teams may have an injury and say, oh, my God, we've got to pick up a guy like that. But Oakland management is not dumb, and they're going to raise the price. If they know you need a guy bad, they're going to twist arms.
Football is very different than baseball. I think that analysis probably applies more to baseball at the trade deadline. Football teams seem to be loath to make those kind of moves. They value high picks too much. I get your point, Bill. I doubt that's going to happen. I think this guy will probably sign next week before the first game. How often do you see a superstar?
Yeah.
couple of days before he runs to a couple of practices, and then he's out there at the first game, maybe not 100%, but he's there. So, I mean, you know, he's just saying, look, I'm going to hold you up a little bit. I want more money, and they're going to give him some more money. And I think they'll get it done. I really do.
Well, speaking of being held up for more money, did you get a chance to see where they're going to put the Vegas football stadium?
Yeah, it's not too far from where the hockey rink is that we've seen, and I've attended a game at in March. Whereas you can literally walk to the arena where the Vegas Knights play, and it's like a two-minute walk from the strip. It's very close. The football stadium, you really need to drive. It's perhaps a mile down the road, so it'd be tough to walk that, I think. Maybe 2 miles, I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's coming along. But you're right before, Bill, they're talking 2020 for the Oakland Raiders. Anyway.
Let me just say what I wanted to say about my Packers. I think they could win their first four games, or certainly three out of four, because luckily they start out playing at Lambeau, and I think they always have an advantage playing the Bears at Green Bay and then Vikings at Green Bay. And
I think there's a big home court advantage. There,
and then they play the Redskins in Washington, which is a little more iffy. And then
I think that's an easy win for the Packers.
You think so?
Oh, an easy win.
I think Washington is not going to be competitive this year.
They're not competitive. I agree with Bill.
Oh, that's interesting, because I thought that might be the most challenging, although the Vikings are always an interesting.
No, the Redskins challenge. Are 80-1.
To
win. Yeah. They lost Kirk Cousins and didn't replace him.
Well, that's true.
They don't have a franchise quarterback. So, and quite frankly, I think that is a huge, to me, that is perhaps the most intriguing. I think right now that if you would take the most intriguing issue in each conference in the AFC, it's can Brady continue to play at that level and dominate and give them a shot? I mean, you almost penciled them in for the AFC championship game. In the NFC, can Kirk Cousins quarterback the Vikings to that 12-13 game season and get home field advantage and make the Packers go to Minnesota? I mean, can they do? I mean, I really like Kirk Cousins. I know he's had his moments up and down, but I think he is primed and ready to go. It's a great trade for them. It'll pay off long term, I think, for Washington. Really, they didn't get anything for him. I think he signed as a free agent with Minnesota. I don't think that was a trade, now that I think of it. So it really hurt Washington. But having said that, I think the big issue to me in the NFC is if Cousins comes in and has a career year and dominates, I really think the Vikings will get past the Packers, the Rams, and the Eagles. I do.
Well, you know,
because they're so solid everywhere else.
They absolutely are. Although it's always, I'm wondering what kind of a year Adrian Peterson is going to have. That he's
he's not there anymore.
I said that, and he's no longer there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I'm glad he's not there. Of course, I'm really upset about Jordy Nelson not being with the Packers. And you know, they had enough money that they could have paid him.
Yeah, they made a business decision, and I'm not sure where. But anyway, what I wanted to also touch base on is baseball, and they have some interesting odds on that. Here's a couple that'll shock you. The Los Angeles Angels, who proudly display Mike Trout on their roster, the odds of the Angels winning the World Series, want to take a guess?
Can't begin to think, because I just don't follow it that closely.
1,000-1.
For whom?
Wow. Now, I'll give you one better. The Toronto Blue Jays, who are 5-10 games over 500, whatever. Guess what their odds are to win?
Oh, probably about 500-1.
2,000-1.
Really?
Well,
wow.
They play in the same division as those two teams that the rest of the country don't want to talk about.
Yeah. They're right now they're a third.
The New York Mets.
Are you talking about this year?
Yeah.
Or next year?
This
for
year.
The baseball.
Yeah, 2018.
Oh, because, you know, that... Yeah, that, yeah, I mean,
it's
we have
now
so many,
September.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's
these
now
are the
September.
Current odds. The New York Mets, who have not officially been eliminated, are 2,500-1.
I was thinking more like 28,000-1.
Anyway, the more salient odds, believe it or not, this I found shocking, the Astros and the Cubs are each 5-1 to win the World Series. The Indians 7-1, okay. The Red Sox 8-1, and the Yankees 7-1. I mean, here are the Red Sox on a record pace, and you talk about Rodney Dangerfield not getting any respect.
And what are the Yankees?
7-1.
And the Red Sox are
8-1.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But those were the odds as of the other day.
Do you think people?
And talking
believe...
about odds, I guess we better take a break and play some spots from our sponsors before we're off the air without having done it. So back in a minute.
I'll come back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call
everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has...
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Okay, sports guys and sports fans, we're back. And
we're back and
John
to
is
go.
Here with a lot of what's the... What? The
well, we
sports
were going to go to
some
baseball odds, but I have to give you a little personal anecdote. Last night, I got back from Vegas, was pretty tired, was, as usual, having trouble sleeping, and I turned the radio on, and I didn't realize how early it was. I was just so disoriented. The baseball games were still on. So I when I turned the radio on, it was set to FAN, and I hear John Sterling's booming voice, and it's the top of the ninth inning, and he said, "Well, it's 7-5, and Dylan Betances is on for the Yankees, and I think we can all but put this in the win column," and he's going on and extolling the virtues of Betances, and he said, "You know, Susan, right now I think he's the best top pitcher, relief pitcher in baseball. And I wouldn't trade him for anyone. I think he's absolutely the best." And then, and there's ball four, a rare walk. So one of the Tigers walks. And then he resumes his discussion of how good Betanzas is, and all of a sudden you hear and a little silence coming from the radio, and Sterling says, well, that line drive, well, what? That's out of that, Susan, that's a home run. The game is tied. Oh, my God. What a shock. That is a rare mistake by Betanzas. And as the next batter steps into the box, and that is very surprising, all of a sudden he says, oh, what? There's another line drive. That's in the right. Oh, my God. That's a back-to-back home run. And the Yankees are losing. And he made a complete fool of himself. I mean, at the very moment he's saying this guy's the best relief pitcher in baseball, he literally, in the next minute and a half, gives up back-to-back home runs, and the Yankees lose 8-7 to the Tigers.
But remember,
that was a devastating loss.
It certainly is. And, you know, Betances, just like the rest of the Yankees, seems to have caught what I'll call the New York Mets flu. Because remember, Betances gave up as many runs last night as he did in the last 39 outings, going all the way back to May 15th, three runs.
Wow.
So he blew it. But the Yankees were terrible all night. They were playing unexpiring ball both in the field and on the bases. And they're letting, I think they're letting a wild card drip away. Hap had his worst start ever as a Yankee in the sixth. This was his number six start. He was 5-0. He finally dropped one. They had five terrible plays in the infield over the first five innings. It made Hap throw extra pitches and give up extra runs. And look at this. Second baseman Neil Walker, who's playing in place of Gleyber, who had to move over, twice couldn't turn grounders into outs, so they gave up two infield hits on some bad fielding. Ronnie Rodriguez then hit the two-run home run.
Have they become a poor defensive team suddenly, Bill?
Pardon?
Have they become a less-than-average defensive team suddenly?
I think so, because you had a lunging Luke Voit who couldn't handle a Nicholas Castellanos grounder that went for an infield singer. And then Martinez hits a two-run home run. And then throw in an error by Gleyber Torres playing shortstop and a terrible rundown that Miguel Andujar executes. And there's just no smarts. These are young guys trying to fill in. They're going to make what I call the rookie or sophomore mistakes. And unfortunately, you didn't get the pitching out of Hap that you had hoped for. And you didn't get the shut him down relief performance that everybody hoped we'd see from Betances. Remember,
well,
Betances,
you know, Bill,
was up and down all of last year.
Bill, on that point, on that note, I will tell you, I was sitting in the sports book in the Flamingo Tuesday night and watched Kimbrel, supposed to be an all-world receiver, give up a tying home run in the ninth inning. Bill, I think it's September. And I think what it is these guys have been flamethrowers all year, every time they come in the ninth inning, and all the marbles are on the table. Remember, they're only going to bring them in a safe situation, which means you're only one, two runs up, maybe three. And so I think what happens to these guys, Bill, they're excellent pitchers, Betances, Kimbrel, Osuna has run into the same problems. You know, three of the top guys, and you get to August and September, and I think these guys are a little fried, and the pressure gets to them.
Well, that could be.
It's a long season.
Long season.
A lot of games.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, even though the pitchers, you know, yeah. don't pitch as much as they did in the old days.
Most of them are now 50 to 60 appearances, so they've been in every other game, every third game.
Right.
And again, you're always coming in a pressure. Because if it's a laugher, those guys don't come in. So by definition, the closer only comes in when it's a close game, and everything he throws has got to be 96 and above.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
Bill,
well,
I think that's a big part of it.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, if you're six runs or eight runs up, well, then it's Sonny Gray time in New York. I get that.
Drew Pomeranz in Boston.
Exactly. But on the other hand, you're not going to have that many runaway laughers with these good teams. And, you know, it just goes to show you the importance of good fielding and good base running, which to me are the forgotten elements of the game that are so critical. And, you know, because The other night, there was a runner on third. Giancarlo Stanton was up. There were two out. And the guy tries to make it home after a pass ball or a wild pitch.
Yeah, I saw that. I was in the sports book and watched that play.
That was a perfect throw by the catcher.
Well, what it was, though, and you're right about citing that play, Bill, but the mistake, because it was a good throw, but the pass ball went all the way to the screen. The problem was you had a rookie who hesitated for a moment, and then he took off. If it were a veteran who would have instinctively known, he would have taken – because they nipped him, you know, in less than a foot. So had he not hesitated for a split second, he would have been safe.
I think
– that was just a rookie mistake.
I think so. And, you know, you're going to lose ball games like that. And I think if a team starts losing too many of them, they feel snake bit, and they could easily lose that one-game wild card playoff. So that's my big worry for the Yankees this year.
Well, no question about it. And again, on the Red Sox side, they've been hovering around 700 ball for months, and everybody's worried there's a five-game series that could be lost in Cleveland. You know, you have Kluber and the Indians can throw three aces at you, and you know you might come up with you might get shut out or whatever. Very, very easy to lose that series in Cleveland. So, you know, again, you be careful what you wish for. You want the best record in the American League, and you may get the home game, but you may get the Cleveland Indians.
Well, the other thing, too, that's fascinating to me is...
Which, of course, will be even more aggravating for me, but that's besides the point.
You know, when you get to these playoffs, after the wild card playoffs, because you never know who's coming out of that wild card game, now you have a 3 out of 5, and you never know what's going to happen there. And before they start playing for the league championships. And I've been following the American League closely and the National League not quite so much. But what I'm seeing is that you really don't know. A team's regular season record a month ago, I would have said to you, based on regular season records, the Red Sox are just going to be like a buzzsaw all their way to another world championship. Now I'm not so sure because, as you correctly point out, it's a long season. These guys are worn down. Who knows where this goes? And frankly, that's half the fun. The uncertainty of whether your team's going to get in or not is half the fun.
Yeah, well, Bill, I think every team has warts. Every team has holes. And I think we're in an era that you really just don't know. It's an era of uncertainty. There's so many good teams, and it's what makes it fun, but by the same token, you're biting your nails off up to your elbows. And but as somebody likes to say, that's baseball, Susan.
There's no crying in baseball, right, folks? Meanwhile, Pat, what college game are you planning to watch this weekend?
Well, if I can get it, of course I'd watch the Badgers.
Wisconsin.
Absolutely, okay. Wisconsin Badgers.
And who are they playing?
How about that? I just got an invitation for dinner. How about that? Can't turn that down.
I don't know, and I'm not sure. On the other hand, I'm not sure who they're playing.
Well, you know,
and I don't know if it'll be televised out here. It really depends on who the other team is and what other important East Coast teams there are.
We already talked about Temple Villanova at the link, which is
tomorrow.
Well,
that shouldn't be that important if it's Temple Villanova.
That'll be a fun game, actually. I don't know what the weather's going to be like tomorrow.
Well, it's not supposed to be great.
I think it's supposed to be off and on all weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow should be. But remember, we're talking here, not out in the
Not down the shore. Well, in a maritime environment, it's usually more rainy.
But apparently, from what I've heard, that there are a lot of, what do you call those, biting flies down at the shore? They said there have been a lot of...
Yeah, it's been a bad year for that, yeah.
Well, especially apparently yesterday and today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you get a lot of rain, it may breed them, and that could be a problem. Of course, the infamous Gnats of Cleveland, as we know from Yankee lore, right, Bill? That's what comes to mind when we're talking about bugs in sports. You got to remember the Gnats of Cleveland.
Oh, the famous Joba Chamberlain gnat attack in Cleveland, where Joe Torre comes out and has to stop the game because there are too many gnats buzzing around the sky. And Joba Chamberlain was really having a problem that night. And in a playoff game, what they should have done.
Well, he was trying to swat
flies.
Hey,
guys, they're going to cut us off in like 10 seconds or less. So what do you have to say? What's prediction?
Have a great, safe, and happy holiday weekend, everyone.
And next week will be the first
Labor
day before the regular football season.
We will do our predictions next week. Absolutely.
We will be raring to go, folks.
And
actually, don't the Eagles play Thursday night? Don't they kick off
Thursday night?
They kick off Thursday night.
I think they do.
And I think they play home against Atlanta, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. We'll be able to analyze that as well as all the games coming up.
Well, folks, get up off that couch, put your galoshes on. It's going to be a sloppy weekend, so have some fun.
Well, and if you're going to look at the weather tomorrow, looks like it could be better than Sunday. And, you know, it is what it is.